I'm Laura Bowen here from USTA of Florida, and for the first time, we actually have a live podcast from the ASU GSV Summit, and I'm joined by Nayron Jenkins, who is one of the students we brought here from FAM, and we're super excited to have you with us, Nayron. So I have a few questions for you to help share your story with our audience and see how you've been enjoying this event so far. Now. So first of all, could you tell me a little bit about your background and how you got involved in sports?
So I come from a family that's very competitive in all aspects. And so growing up, all I learned was sports and, you know, God and sports was kind of the biggest part of growing up for me. And so when I was growing up, I got into football and basketball at like age 4. And I fell in love with, you know, competing and playing at different levels. But I think that being around my parents and being around them pushing me, you know, because times are hard in anything you do. And so I think that that's definitely been my background, is that it's been very strong in faith and my parents being pushing and believing in me, even when I didn't believe in myself or things that I doubted myself, my parents and God were always there for me.
I love that. That's very inspirational. Are you from Florida originally?
Yes, I'm actually from Alachua, Florida, a small town outside of Gainesville, Florida.
Absolutely. Well, we love Gainesville. We actually have a facility there. So it was wonderful to find out that you're from that area. My second question for you is, when you were looking at colleges, what mattered most to you in terms of where you were going to continue your education?
So actually, you know, as a football player, I was looking at, you know, what school offered me a scholarship. And unfortunately, I was only offered one scholarship to a Division II school in South Carolina. But I love Florida and I want to stay close to the home. So I was given a preferred walk-on spot at FAMU. And so I look for people that are going to value me as a person, as a student, and as an athlete. And so I think that was definitely things that FAMU checked all the boxes of, as well as culture. And, you know, FAMU is the best HBCU in the world for a reason. It's just a great atmosphere. And I love, you know, being able to learn and being able to thrive on the field there as well.
Well, I'm very happy that you chose not to go to South Carolina, because obviously Florida is my home.
Oh, yeah.
So very happy that you chose to stay in Tallahassee. When you think about the HBCU experience that you've had, how does that benefit you as a student athlete and as a human being?
I think that, you know, being in a space where you see other people that are like you and that are thriving in their industry and in different spaces, but you all have a common goal. If you want to be better than, you know, what have been in your family, you want to break generational curses, you want to do things like that. And so I think that being in the HBCU, it just allows us to be able to be around like-minded individuals that look like you and have goals that they just want to better themselves and better the future and be able to create generational wealth and generational knowledge for them. And so I think that that's the important thing of being around people that look like you, you know, and also not even just look like you, because there are people of all different ethnicities at HBCUs, but it's also being in a space where you're valued and you're not just another number, but you're family. And so I think that that's the most important thing about FAMU, is we all have a saying called FAMULY. And so once you go to FAMU, you're family and everybody sits together and everybody loves each other. So we're just one big happy family.
We've heard a lot of that today, that the HBCU network in general is like a big family, very supportive of each other. That is something that I think as a athlete is also important to you as an aspiring leader, is to kind of have that support system. Can you talk a little bit about the leadership skills that you've developed through athletics and maybe some of the people that have helped instill those leadership values in you?
So one of the main things that my mom has taught me since I was born is, you know, be a leader and not a follower. Every morning before she would go to work and I would go to school, me and my brother and my dad would drop us off. He'd be like, hey, be a leader and not a follower. Like, you know, you were created to lead. And so I think that's one of the things that was definitely instilled in me as an early age. But then also, you know, as I grow and as I, you know, go through things that children go through when they're growing up, you know, you go through things of trying to be like everybody else, you know, trying to fit in. But, you know, I had parents that are, you know, were praying parents, but they also allowed me to like, hey, you know, that's not you. Like, you know, do you. You're not supposed to fit in because you're different. And so you're different. You're unique. And so I think that that's what allowed me to be able to be a better leader, is to understand that I'm different. And when I lead by example, I think that more people are more in tune to listen because you have to practice what you preach. So you can't be saying one thing to them and then living another lifestyle or doing something totally different that's contrary to what you're telling them to do. And so I think that that's definitely the most important thing for me is to be able to practice what I preach, you know, be able to say things, but also live out and be an example of what I want somebody to follow.
I think you've demonstrated that here. I mean, from the first time that we communicated, you're very good at raising your hand first, being super communicative, showing up first, leading others, helping others. That's all that we've really experienced with you. So I think your parents would be really proud that you're living up to that here at the conference and with us.
Yes, ma'am.
So can you talk a little bit about the career path that you're pursuing and maybe why companies should be looking for student athletes when they're hiring for key positions?
So the career path when I first started college was actually to become a broadcast journalism, journalist in general, maybe even be a sports anchor or different things like that. But the more I play football and the more I am, learn more about the game and be able to create these connections, I want to go into coaching. You know, I still have the broadcast journalism background, but I actually want to get my master's in sports management. And so that I can be able to stay in the sports industry and be able to either coach or be in the front office of an organization. And I think what job owners and different things like that have to look forward to with athletes is that we know how to work with people. We know how to communicate. We know how to work through trials and tribulations. You know, as an athlete, things are going to go wrong in the game. Everybody knows that, it's not going to play a perfect game. And so I think that's what we have to learn. We learn that very early, playing sports since you're very young. Once you get to the workforce, it's like, all right, let's figure out how can we find this problem. We're not going to have a mental breakdown, because if something went wrong, we're going to figure out and problem solve and be able to work with our team and be able to get these things accomplished so that we can get to our next goal at hand.
Yeah, I think what you said there is really telling, like the problem solving ability and also the ability to work within a team, which we don't see that develop early on in tennis players, because oftentimes they don't play on a team until later in life. But in sports like football, basketball, I grew up playing softball, that team dynamic really does translate very strongly to any type of company or any organization like ours. It's a nonprofit with a mission. So I think you've identified that as one of the leadership traits that we look for sure.
Yeah.
So last question for you, I'm going to throw this one at you on the fly. What was your biggest takeaway so far from the summit here? And what are you taking home with you? What can you do to kind of implement and act on that when you leave?
I think the biggest takeaway that I've had so far is you belong in the room. There's a lot of people here from different places, from different, economic statuses, from different universities and companies. But I think that shows me, hey, you're that kid from Alachua, Florida, but you belong in the room where you're at. God has put you here for a reason. And you'd be able to capitalize on this. And he put you here for a reason, because he wants you to be able to experience things like this and be able to take things back to learn. And so I think that's the biggest thing I've taken back is, being able to learn and being able to grow and be able to take it back and not just leave it with me, but also allow it to implement it to other people and take what I learned so that this can keep going and this could grow to, take over FAMU and then take over other HBCUs in Tallahassee and things like that. So I think that's definitely been the biggest thing I want to do is to be able to take what I learned here and take it back and spread so that it can not just be beneficial to people here, but all around.
Love that. And I'm going to double down on that. You belong in the room. That was the best piece of advice that someone gave me in high school. My English teacher told me when I went off to college, you're going to encounter a lot of people who are really smart. They have more experience than you. You belong there and you have a seat at the table and you have a voice and you should use it. And it was one of the best pieces of advice that I ever got. And now when I doubt myself, I always think back to Mrs. Hill and my English teacher who told me that. So I'm glad that you got that today. You always have a space with us. And hopefully this will be the first of many, many times that we sit at the table and we talk about how we can make the world better. So thank you, Nehra.
Yes, ma'am. Thank y'all for having me.
That's all for this edition of the Here to Serve podcast. Thanks for tuning in. For more episodes of the Here to Serve podcast, including upcoming topics, dates, and guests, visit ustaflorida.com/here to serve.